friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Our starting line on the Sunny Side of Sports is African athletics. And let's give Sunny Side of Sports salutes to Uganda's Joshua Cheptegei and Kenya's Helen Obiri, who won the men's and women's senior races over the weekend at the IAAF World Cross Country Championships in Aarhus, Denmark. Ladies first, the 29-year-old Obiri covered the 10.2-kilometer course in 36 minutes and 14 seconds. Ethiopia's Dara Dida came across the finish line 2 seconds later, and another Ethiopian, Letesenbet Gidey, was third in a time of 36 minutes and 24 seconds. With her victory in Denmark, Helen Obiri made history. She became the first woman ever to win IAAF senior world titles indoors, outdoors, and at cross country. That's because Helen is the reigning women's world champion outdoors at 5,000 meters, and she also won a world indoor title 7 years ago at 3,000 meters. And as Helen Obiri adds another gold medal to her trophy case, let's not forget, VOA listeners, that she also won a silver medal at 5,000 meters at the 2016 Olympics in Brazil. And last year, Helen won a gold medal at 5,000 meters at the Commonwealth Games in Australia. And speaking of the Commonwealth Games, Ugandan athlete Joshua Cheptegei had a very memorable athletic outing last year on the Gold Coast. Joshua won gold medals at both 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters, and he showed with his world cross-country performance in Denmark that he's ready to win more medals! Yes, Joshua Cheptegei, the 22-year-old from Uganda's Kapchorwa district, claimed his first world cross-country senior title, winning in 31 minutes and 40 seconds. Another Ugandan, Jacob Kiplimo, was second in 31 minutes and 44 seconds. And the two-time defending world cross-country champion from Kenya, Jeffrey Kamwar, finished third in 31 minutes and 55 seconds. Speaking after his victory, Joshua Cheptegei said his ambition is to dominate the track for the next 5 or 6 years. Meanwhile, there were also mixed relay and junior men and junior women races in Denmark. Taking a look at the overall medal table, Ethiopia was at the top with 11 medals, 5 gold, 3 silver, and 3 bronze. Kenya was next with 8 medals, 2 gold, 3 silver, and 3 bronze. Uganda won 6 medals, 2 gold, 2 silver, and 2 bronze. And Morocco won a silver medal in the mixed relay in Denmark. Samson Omale joins us now with more African athletic news. And Samson says he also has some African club football and African volleyball updates. Sporty greetings, Samson!
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. Athletics Kenya president Jackson Tui has criticized the International Association of Athletics Federation decision to drop 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters event in the Diamond League, in which African athletes have traditionally done very well, describing the decision as unfair. IAAF President Sebastian Coe and CEO John Ridgeon met Jackson Tui during the World Cross Country Championships in Aarhus and provided assurances that Kenyan and other East African athletes will not be disadvantaged. Sebastian Coe clarified that the absence of the 5,000 meters from the official program will not prevent individual Diamond League meetings from running the event outside of the 90-minute broadcast window. Deji Ogunbo is an athletic sports reporter.
The president's Lord Sebastian Coe eased their fears, saying that despite them removing those events
they will still inculcate them into some other series, which a lot of meets have been dying to have them, something like the IWF Challenge meet, as well as some other meets around the world. So it's still a win-win situation.
To volleyball, where the 38th edition of the Men's African Volleyball Club Championship will see record holders and reigning champions Al Ahly of Egypt defend their title against 22 teams across the continent in Cairo, Egypt. Among the 22 teams to participate, only Al Ahly ever lay hand on the coveted title, and should they fail to defend the title, a new champion will be crowned. Kenya Prisons coach David Longhau has backed his charges to progress from a tricky-looking Group C.
So what you're going to do is that you're going to take one match at a time, and I want to promise Kenyans that we are going to do our best to see that we advance to the next stage.
Raja Casablanca of Morocco has won the African Super Cup after narrowly beating Tunisia's Esperance 2-1 to leave the trophy for the second time. Goals from Abdillah Hafidi, a superb first-half strike from 20 yards, and a neat close-range finish from captain Badir Benaoun in the 65th minute sealed victory for Raja Casablanca. Those goals came either side of a superb goal from Esperance Mohamed Yusuf, who smashed home an equalizer in the 57th minute to give the Tunisian side a brave hope at the weekend. The Super Cup is an annual one-off match pitting the winner of the CAF Champions League and the second-tier CAF Confederations Cup against each other. Friday's match was played in the 2022 World Cup host nation Qatar, the first time it has been played outside Africa. Here's how some fans reacted to Raja's victory.
It just continued to show the dominance of the Northern African club sides on the continent and football in general in Africa.
Expected a good contest, and I think it was a good display for African football.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Prince Nesta joins us now with a look at some of the weekend highlights in European club football. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Liverpool moved back to the top of the Premier League in dramatic style with the last gasp 2-1 victory over Tottenham. The game looked to have been heading for a draw when Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah's header cross was fumbled by Hugo Lloris, with the ball rolling in off the unfortunate defender Toby Alderweireld. Liverpool now lead the standings with 79 points. Reigning Premier League champions Manchester City remain second in the standings, after seeing off relegation-bound Fulham 2-0 at Craven Cottage with goals from Bernardo Silva and Sergio Aguero. Pep Guardiola's men still remain on course for an unprecedented quadruple of Premier League, Champions League, FA Cup and League Cup, which they retained last month. Meanwhile, Huddersfield have been relegated from the English Premier League with 6 games remaining. Huddersfield's fate was sealed after losing 2-0 at Crystal Palace, ending the Northern English team's 2-year stay in the top flight.
Prince, that's quite unfortunate for Huddersfield to be relegated, even though they fought so hard at Selhurst Park. And Prince, I saw some highlights of the Huddersfield fans clapping and cheering their distraught players in a classy show of support. If we go to Old Trafford in Manchester, Prince, Ole Gunnar proved himself once again after being named full-time manager.
That's right, Sonny. The 46-year-old's reign as permanent Manchester United manager began on a victorious note, with a 2-1 victory over Watford moving the Red Devils into fourth spot in the Premier League. Goals from Marcus Rashford and Antoine Martial took them above Arsenal and level on points with third-place Tottenham, boosting Solskjaer's hopes of achieving his first goal of securing Champions League football for next season. Ruben Loftus-Cheek was the hero from the bench, as Chelsea scored twice in the final 10 minutes to come back from a goal down and beat Cardiff City 2-1, sparing Maurizio Sarri another embarrassing defeat that would have raised fresh questions about his future. Sonny, there'll also be another mouth-watering clash tonight between Arsenal and Newcastle United at the Emirates Stadium. Arsenal can't afford to squander this chance since they're also seeking to establish themselves as the favourites for a top four finish. And Arsenal fans are actually gonna love this particular statistic. Arsenal have won 6 successive home games against Newcastle United, all in the Premier League, scoring 18 goals and conceding just 5. Arsenal have also won all 6 of their home league matches in 2019. Aaron Ramsey and Nacho Monreal are also expected to be available for the Arsenal squad after recovering from minor injuries, although the Gunners are going to be without Lucas Torreira, who will be out serving a ban.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Prince Nesta is looking at some of the highlights from the weekend in European club football. Prince, if we turn our attention to France, Kylian Mbappe, voted the best young player at last year's World Cup in Russia, seems to be taking his game to another level after another superb performance in the French League.
I'm definitely in full agreement with you on that, Sonny. The 20-year-old Paris Saint-Germain forward scored his 27th goal of the season as the runaway leaders edged close to Ligue 1 title with a hard-fought 1-0 win at Toulouse. Mbappe struck in the 74th minute to put PSG on 80 points from 29 games, with the Parisians on the brink of being crowned this weekend if they beat Racing Strasbourg and Lille fails to win at Reims. Martin Terrier's late goal gave Olympique Lyon a 1-0 win at Rennes, while in-demand Ivory Coast winger Nicolas Pepe and Mali international Khalifa Koulibaly were on target as Lille beat Nantes 3-2. Another French forward of Ivorian descent, Jonathan Bamba, also scored to seal the deal, ensuring Lille remained second in the log behind Paris Saint-Germain with 60 points from 30 games.
Prince, let's go now to Spain. I see where Barcelona superstar Lionel Messi has helped lead his club to another victory.
That's right, Sonny. A Lionel PlayStation Messi brace guided Barcelona to a 2-0 victory over rivals Espanyol in the Catalan derby. The Barca star dinked a Panenka free kick that lofted over the wall and then delivered a deft finish after being set up by Brazilian Marcom in the game's closing stages. With 41 goals this season, Messi has surpassed 40 goals in a season for the 10th successive year, extending Barca's lead at the top of the La Liga table to 10 points. French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema saved Real Madrid's blushes by scoring a superb late goal to snatch a 3-2 win at home to La Liga basement side Huesca, ensuring coach Zinedine Zidane's perfect start since the Frenchman returned to the club. The last-gasp win left Madrid third in the standings with 57 points after 29 games, while second-place Atletico Madrid have 59 after an impressive 4-0 win over Alaves. And Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Swiss star Roger Federer won his 4th Miami Open title on Sunday when he beat American John Isner in straight sets 6-1 and 6-4. Craig Gabriel was courtside in Miami, Florida, and he filed this report.
20 tournaments have been played on the men's tour this year, and Roger Federer has become the only player to have captured more than one title, his 4th Miami Open. With the 37-year-old Swiss showing yet again that age is just a number, he defeated the defending champion John Isner 6-1, 6-4 in what was the first final at the event between two former champions since 2015, when Novak Djokovic beat Andy Murray.
This one just feels like also I didn't expect it, to be honest. Just these Master 1000s are hard to win. They're really a test for me, especially later in my career. So I know that these guys don't come around very often. So when they do, they are a bit of a surprise for me. And that's why this one feels, you know, very, very cool in many ways.
This match was the oldest combined age final in the Miami Open's 35-year history. Federer is 37 and Isner 33. And this win by Federer is his fourth in Miami and the 101st of his career. And it takes his head-to-head record with Isner to 6-2.
I knew he was going to play well today. I knew he was seeing the ball very big. And certainly that was the case. And I wasn't up to the task in the first set, that's for sure.
For Federer, who is playing his 154th overall final, this is his 28th Masters 1000 title from a record 50. The only players ahead of him are Djokovic, who lost in the fourth round to Roberto Bautista Agut, and Rafa Nadal, who withdrew from the event with an injury. The performance from Federer was a bit of a masterclass, and he'll turn his attention now to the European clay court season. Craig Gabriel for VOA Sports, Miami.
Thanks, Craig. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, Australia's Ashley Ash Barty won the women's singles title at the Miami Open. Ash defeated Karolina Pliskova of the Czech Republic 7-6 and 6-3 in the final. And Craig Gabriel caught up with Ash Barty after her victory. Here's Craig.
Ash Barty, congratulations. It's a little while now since you won the championship at the Miami Open. How does it really feel? Has it sunk in?
Yes and no. It's just been an amazing fortnight of tennis. It really has. And I feel like that, you know, it's been a very consistent week of tennis. I've played some unbelievable matches. I've played some scratchy matches. But I think being able to back it up day in, day out, it's been unreal.
When you were coming into the tournament, did you get any sort of sense of feeling that this could be a major week for you?
I think you just have to make the most of the opportunity. And, you know, we were dealt with a tricky hand at the start of the week, you know, but I'm proud of myself and my team and the way that we've been able to navigate through it, play some really solid tennis and enjoy it.
What about, you know, all the milestones you've achieved during these last 12 or so days and what you're coming out as number 9 ranking in? Have you been able to take all those sort of things into consideration?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll be able to sit down with my team tonight and be able to celebrate what we have achieved this year. I think it's a very important part to be able to sit back and appreciate and celebrate what we've been able to achieve and know that, you know, these opportunities don't come around every single day. So you do need to make the most of them and make sure that you enjoy them. And then, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll get back down to work and worry about Fed Cup.
And as you've said recently and talked much about the, you know, your tennis since Wimbledon last year and what you've changed and improved, etc., if you had to pinpoint a couple of things, what would they be that you feel you've achieved the most in?
Oh, I think the way that I've been able to, you know, mentally navigate a lot through a lot of matches and to continue to grow as a person, as a player, continue to develop my game, try and get a little bit better every single day. Some days it's not going to work out for you, but to know that, you know, the sun will come up tomorrow, you can keep chipping away, keep working, and eventually you'll get the rewards.
The whole journey aspect, since coming back after the cricket, could you envisage you'd be up at this level of the sport relatively soon after that?
Not at all. I think, you know, I've certainly had the drive and the motivation and worked extremely hard to get to this point. And, you know, I think it's important for me to continue to try and meet those levels and those expectations of what I need to do off the court and when I'm on the practice court to make sure that I can come out and enjoy when I play matches, because that's why we play the sport. We want to come out here and compete, enjoy it, love it, you know, and keep giving myself the opportunity.
During the Australian Open, there was this picture circulating of you, I think 12 years old, with the trophy. Where is that trophy and where will this fabulous trophy be sitting?
I remember Jim Joyce, my coach, took that photo. And yeah, I think I was even younger. I think I was only 6 or 7 years old. And I love that one circulates around. But no, this trophy will be at Mum and Dad's house. All of my trophies and kind of my important things are at my parents' house. And I think it's important for them to realise how bigger part of the journey they've been as well.
Last one. Number 9 ranking, the first Australian woman to reach that high since Sammy Stosur in May 2003. So are you resetting goals? What's next?
We'll start with number 8, I suppose. But no, always looking to continue to go up. And I think for me, the challenging part is through this clay court season and really challenge myself to continue to play well, to continue to learn about clay court tennis and try and do my best.
Ash, congratulations and thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Australian tennis player Ash Barty, who won the women's singles title at the Miami Open. And Ash was talking with Craig Gabriel in Miami, Florida. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In U.S. men's college basketball, the field is now set for the Final Four in the Division I Championship Tournament. The Final Four semifinal games will be played on Saturday, April 6th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the winners of those two semifinals will then advance to the national title game on April 8th in Minneapolis. Let's take a look at the Final Four matchups. Virginia will play Auburn, and that will be followed by a game between Michigan State and Texas Tech. Here in Washington, the Spartans of Michigan State advance to the Final Four with a narrow 68-67 victory over Duke. The AP's Dave Preston tells us more.
Michigan State defeats Duke 68-67 in the East Regional Finals. It was a game where there were 7 ties and 16 lead changes. Kenny Goins' 3 with 34 seconds left puts the Spartans up for good. And R.J. Barrett's missed free throw with 5 seconds left seals the overall number one seed's fate. Cassius Winston leads the way with 20 points and 10 assists, while Michigan State gets 24 points off of 17 Blue Devil turnovers. Freshman phenom Zion Williamson nets 24 points with 14 rebounds in defeat.
They did everything we expected them to do. Hats off to them. They're a great team. They played a great game. And, you know, Winston, I mean, he took over. So, you know, hats off to them. They're a great team.
The Spartans are headed to their 8th Final Four under Coach Tom Izzo.
We said we can't turn the ball over. Turn the ball over and you get an open court and Zion is just flying and they got shooters and Trey is such a good distributor. To have 7 turnovers against a team like that and turn them over 17 times, I thought was the difference in the game.
Dave Preston, Washington.
Thanks, Dave. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Spartans of Michigan State will next play the Red Raiders of Texas Tech, who earned their first ever berth in the Final Four with a 75-69 victory over Gonzaga. Meanwhile, Virginia and Auburn both advanced to their Final Four matchup with overtime victories. Virginia beat Purdue 80-75 in overtime, while Auburn ousted Kentucky 77-71 in overtime. The AP's Ian Eklund has more details on Auburn's victory from Kansas City.
The 5th-seeded Auburn Tigers upset the 2nd-seeded Kentucky Wildcats 77-71 in overtime. Kentucky forward P.J. Washington nailed a 3-pointer to pull his team within 3 points with 16 seconds left on the clock. But the next possession for Kentucky ended with a clutch block shot by Auburn forward Anthony McLemore. Then the Tigers sealed the game with 3 free throws, scoring their last 7 points at the line. Auburn is the first 5-seed to advance to the Final Four since Butler in 2010. Ian Eklund, Kansas City.
Thanks, Ian. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is www.facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the April 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. No fooling! April 1st, no fooling, but no fooling. This was the April 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. No fooling. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On April 7th, the United Nations marks the 25th anniversary of the genocide in Rwanda. More than 800,000 people, mostly Tutsi, were killed. An in-depth discussion of what Rwanda and the world has learned from this tragedy on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
It is expected that one day in the future, people will touch down and walk on Mars. There are also those such as Elon Musk of SpaceX who are working on ways to build and maintain human colonies on the red planet. But there are a number of challenges that block the pathway for human exploration of our planetary neighbor. A group of experts recently met in London to discuss the social and psychological aspects of traveling to and living on Mars. According to the meeting's lead organizer, Federico Caprotti of the University of Exeter, the biggest hurdles to Mars settlement are not technical but psychological. Those attending the meeting discussed such issues as humans developing interplanetary jet lag, the lack of the ability to be able to communicate in real time with Earth, and, of course, the inevitable personality clashes between members of the colony. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa news. Tune in on top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.